It's Thursday, April 19th, 2018, and here is your update. Mozilla releases a browser extension to wall off Facebook. There's a new leather-like material made out of mushroom roots. Oracle forced the takedown of an app for using the word JavaScript in its name. An amateur mathematician takes on a decades-old graph theory problem. Are open offices better than closed offices? Get ready for your $89 laptop. Forget sunglasses, here come sun lenses. This is Hacker Daily, the daily podcast for hackers. I'm Dave Zorub. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Mozilla released a Firefox browser extension called Facebook Container that keeps Facebook isolated from the rest of your browsing. Mozilla says the Facebook Container extension isolates your identity into a separate container tab, making it harder for Facebook to track you on the web outside of Facebook. Once activated, the extension will open Facebook in a blue tab each time you use it. You can then use Facebook normally. Facebook will still be able to send you advertising and recommendations on their site, but it'll be much harder for Facebook to use your activity collected off of Facebook to send you ads and other targeted messages. Hacker News commenter Cornholio writes, third-party cookies and any way to fingerprint a specific user, like screen resolution, font fingerprinting, or canvas data, should be considered a breach of the browser security model. All sites should run in containers, and no advertiser should be able to track you across sessions. When I want third-party interaction, I should need to opt in and connect the current site with Facebook or some other third party. Nurek adds, we're going from Cold War to all in. It's not just a privacy question. Reddit nags me every time I hit the front page, even returning from a story asking me to log in. For most sites, I need to create uBlock filters to prevent pop-ups, subscription requests, ads, or social media bars that fill half the screen. Every newspaper I read has decided that auto-starting video and streaming is a good idea. Yes, Hacker News is okay, but sites that it points to are not. I'm giving up on the web. Bolt Threads, an Emeryville, California-based startup, announced the upcoming release of Milo, a new material that looks and feels like animal leather. The material is made from mycelium, the underground root structure of mushrooms. The company says that Milo can be produced in days versus years without the material waste of using animal hides. The company also makes a material called microsilk, a very strong thread that's said to emulate a spider's web. Bolt Threads is the same startup that acquired one of my favorite clothing companies last year, which is called Best Made Co. Best Made is a New York City-based heritage clothing company, and they're probably best known for these super hipster, customizable axes that I'm sure nobody really uses, but they look cool. Best Made already used microsilk in a limited edition high-performance backpack that retailed for over $600 and sold out super quickly last year. Commenter Baxter writes, leather production comes at a very high cost to the environment, so I welcome any real alternative, of course assuming that it's significantly less dirty. A developer on Reddit had an app removed from Apple's App Store after Oracle sent a trademark violation letter. The app was called HTML5 CSS JavaScript HTML Snippet Editor. Yes, it sounds like the developer stuffed a bunch of keywords into the title, but who are we to judge? The letter states, the seller of this iTunes app prominently displays JavaScript without authorization from our client. The unauthorized display of our client's intellectual property is likely to cause consumers encountering this app to mistakenly believe that it emanates from, or is provided under a license from, Oracle. The reaction on Reddit and Hacker News was swift and negative, as expected. Binary Nate writes, I knew that Microsoft had to call their ECMA script implementation JScript, but it never dawned on me that Oracle is the current owner of the JavaScript trademark. Between this and Oracle's ongoing lawsuit against Google for their use of Java on Android, I have a pretty low opinion of Oracle. Weirdo writes, I'm surprised that JavaScript has not become a generic trademark. Examples from the Wikipedia article on generic trademarks include Thermos, Chapstick, and Dumpster. CryptoNetDoor replies, a test case might be needed. If Oracle were to sue a deep-pocketed competitor over the trademark, then we might find a court reaching the conclusion that the trademark has been diluted and the name is now generic. But if Oracle does no such thing and sues only shallow-pocketed nobodies, then the legal status of the mark will remain unclear. My guess is Oracle would only do the latter, and they're doing it because some lawyer thinks that Oracle has to do this to demonstrate that it's defending the mark, even though that's nonsense if they don't go after notable unlicensed uses of their mark. Never attribute to malice what you can attribute to a corporate lawyer. There's finally been progress made on a decades-old unsolved problem in graph theory, reports Quanta Magazine. And the architect of the solution? An amateur mathematician. The problem, known as the Hadwiger-Nelson problem, sounds simple. Take a collection of points connected by lines of the same length. Ensure all of the points lie on the same plane. Color all of the points without coloring two connected points the same color. So, what's the smallest number of colors needed to color any such graph? Mathematicians, including the renowned Paul Erdős, have spent years trying to solve this problem. They narrowed down the solution to between 4 and 7 colors, and that range went unchanged for decades. Enter Aubrey de Grey, a biologist who is most well known for claiming that humans will live to the age of 1,000. Aubrey was introduced to the math problem by competitive Othello players who also happened to be mathematicians. De Grey started spending some of his free time thinking about graph theory problems. He was able to show that 4 colors are not enough to solve the problem by constructing a graph which needed at least 5 colors to satisfy the conditions. While Quanta Magazine paints a picture of De Grey as an unlikely mathematician, De Grey trained as a computer scientist at the University of Cambridge. The university awarded him a PhD in biology nearly 20 years later on the basis of a book he wrote on aging. De Grey was not enrolled at the time. As HN user BRMGB writes, "That's quite an impressive fellow." The debate is well known in the tech world, open versus closed floor plan offices. While tech companies at large have embraced open floor plans, they haven't brought all their employees along for the ride. At my old employer, AngelList, an internal poll found employees evenly divided between the two. HN user CS44 opened up the debate on Hacker News with the comment, "It seems every tech company has fallen for the open floor plan. I'd love to find a company that respects the desk as a workspace that facilitates concentration and deep thought. It seems the answer to this problem has become headphones. How is this acceptable?" Another HN user pointed out a few other downsides of an open office layout. For example, tribes claiming spaces in which cliques tend to form around specific spaces in the office. Posturing, in which top individual contributors would de facto claim conference rooms as their office. A tragedy of the commons, in which meeting rooms are booked up with standing meetings so that it becomes impossible to get one when you need it. Call-out culture, in which people would use the availability of earshot to try to draw others into their conflicts. And finally, a lack of personal boundaries. While no one on the thread seemed to take the side of endorsing a completely open office plan layout, HN user W.S. Kemper did outline a hybrid layout his company, Viasat, uses. He writes, "We call it the neighborhood concept. A neighborhood is a set of individual offices with 3 solid walls and 1 glass and wood wall with a sliding door. All the offices open into a central room that can be outfitted in a bunch of different ways. There are neighborhoods of different sizes, and basically each team gets a neighborhood to themselves. The whole concept was developed through a series of experiments that took several years." A startup called Pine64 released 2 laptop computers at incredibly low prices, an 11-inch model for $89 and a 14-inch model for $99. The laptops ship with very underpowered 64-bit ARM processors and run Linux or Android out of the box. Commenter Unlimited Bacon reviews the laptop. "The beauty of it is that it's unashamedly bad. It is the humblest of laptops. The body is a direct copy of the 13-inch MacBook Air. As a computer, it is at least as unusable as a Raspberry Pi. The teardown photos are hilarious because the motherboard only takes up about 1/6 of the internal space, and the rest is empty. It comes with Ubuntu 16.04, but there are other distros available that work to varying degrees. Since Firefox Quantum came out, it's actually pretty usable for web browsing. Some of the features, it does in fact turn on. It boots surprisingly fast since it's running on flash memory. There is an HDMI port, which may work in the future. The battery life is fantastic due to its meager CPU. Most have no more than 2 dead pixels. You can charge it from another computer's USB port. And it costs less than a replacement battery for my ThinkPad. The FDA cleared the first contact lens incorporating light adaptive technology. The new contact lens incorporates a light sensitive additive. The lens is darkened in bright sunlight, just like sunglasses. The story triggered a lively debate on Hacker News around the approval process at the FDA. One user noted that the study was conducted on 24 participants, a seemingly small number. Another noted that Acuvue had used a 510K clearance, which bypasses some of the standard requirements for a medical device. A 510K clearance can be used for devices which are substantially equivalent to previous devices as it pertains to the medical use. In this case, the contact lens is providing the same medical benefit, corrective vision. Most devices using the 510K clearance can avoid lengthy clinical trials, as the Acuvue Oasys contact lens was able to do. While many HN commenters felt the 510K clearance is too lax and unsafe, a few medical device engineers added context. Commenter Ian McEachern wrote, "510K isn't a loophole, shortcut, or less safe in any way. Clinical trials are unbelievably expensive, hundreds of millions of dollars or more. Often so much that they are prohibitively expensive for alternatives to therapies that already exist or for patient populations that aren't large enough to make back the initial investment. Without the 510K pathway, much of our modern medical treatment portfolio wouldn't exist, as drugs and devices for only the very most lucrative health problems would be cash positive to develop." That's all for Hacker Daily today, Thursday, April 19th. Again, we want to make Hacker Daily better every day, and we really can't do it without your feedback. So please send us an email at info@hackerdaily.co, follow us on Twitter @HackerDailyCo, and we're going to be back tomorrow, Friday, with more updates. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.